Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancor studio in Hattiesburg. Kelly Sanner, Dima Mixon, special guest host with us today, Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV. Producer Michael Mergens and Bob Getty's going to be joining us just a moment on the phone. You know, this should be like a Martin Scorsese movie with all the things to talk about today. It's going to be 3.5 hours if it's 1 minute. You've heard what a difference a day makes. How about 2 or 3 days in Southern Miss? Anyway, Dickie's Barbecue Pit, proud to bring you this first segment of the Eagle Hour, which is probably going to be the highest rated show that we've ever had. Bob Getty, let's get you in here. When we left you Friday, we were all ready for a good weekend, and Charles Huff decides he's going to Memphis. Southern Miss has announced they're going to a bowl game. A lot of other schools have said they're not going to bowl games. This is nuts. Where do we even start this conversation, boss?
Well, it's the new world of college football, that's for sure. I'm going to pat the three of us on the back because I did see a clip this morning from a show that we did when they first made the football hire. And the three of us talked about our belief that Blake Anderson was here because we didn't think Charles Huff was here for the long term, and that we felt like Blake Anderson might be here as the natural, as the natural replacement when and if Huff left. I see he's been named the interim coach, and I tend to believe that that's the direction they're going to go in. So are we surprised? I think I'm surprised that it happened after one short year. Would I have been surprised if it happened this time next year? I would have to tell you no. But a little bit surprised that it happened this quickly. Will not be surprised if Blake Anderson is named the head coach. I did hear talk today that Hugh Freeze has reached out to the university for a potential interview, but I wouldn't think that will materialize. I tend to think it would be Blake Anderson. I think the program would be in really solid shape if that were the case. But, Kelly, I think it's fair to say the three of us did, in fact, tend to foresee this a year ago. Maybe the only surprise is how quickly it happened.
The fact that the only assistant coach that Charles Huff did not bring with him from Marshall was an offensive coordinator, and that Blake Anderson, who already had Southern Miss ties, he already had Sun Belt ties, he's been a head coach at different schools and had some success at each of those schools, that hiring made sense. I tend to agree with you. He's already been named interim. He'll lead him through the bowl game, and it would not surprise me if he was named, right, if they took the interim tag off. Dima.
Yeah, you know, I said this in Octane, and Kelly, you nailed it. When we had Jeremy McClain on last on the show, you flat out asked him, are you prepared to lose your head coach at the end of the season? And he said, you know, we aren't thinking that's going to happen, but we're prepared. And thankfully, the way the buyout was structured, they're going to get $1 million out of this. You know, so I think they're going to be competitive in a next coaching search. I wouldn't put all my cards yet in on Blake Anderson. I feel like if he was going to be the head coach, they might have already named him the next head coach. We saw that at Iowa State. We saw that at a couple of other schools. So I do think they're going to search around for this. I think he's definitely a name on the list, but I think they're going to search around for this. Charles Huff going to Memphis isn't surprising because, number one, I think it's a phenomenal fit for him. You know, with that culture there, with that program, the NIL budget he's going to have to play with there. So I don't think that was a shocker that he is going to Memphis, but I'm with you. The way it happened, I mean, and Scott, I mean, we bring you in. We were there on Wednesday with Charles Huff I mean, that did not sound like a man who was headed to Memphis 2 days later.
No, it did not. He literally said that a recruit called him because a Sun Belt coach was saying he was interviewing for a job in New Orleans, FaceTimed and says, no, I'm here at Southern Miss. That recruit signed with USM. I guess Memphis moved rather quickly, or he just didn't maybe say he interviewed in Memphis. I'm not sure how that one worked out. But I think with Coach Huff, we're not surprised he left. But maybe for me, the way it ended was a little surprising because it felt like this season there was a little bit more to be, you know, desired with. Mm-hmm. You lose the last three games of the year. I don't think anyone's surprised he leaves, but to leave with a 7-5 record, that's the part that stings a little bit because you know you had a couple more wins on the table.
Well, here's the thing that tends to have Eagle fans additionally upset is people think, well, because the Eagles performed so poorly the last 3 weeks that, oh, this had to have been in the works a month ago. I do not believe that.
No, I don't.
No.
And we're going to hear
Scott,
from...
Scott, let me ask you this question, Scott, you and Dima, because you were both there Wednesday. We talked to Glenn Dyer on the show Wednesday, and Glenn covers it as well as anybody. Glenn didn't seem to think that Charles Huff was about to leave. Do either of you guys think that when he held that news conference on Wednesday, he, in fact, knew he was leaving?
So we're going to have Jonah Dillon on from Memphis, who covered this along with Jason Munns, on the segment next. And from their reporting, at least from what I read, was he interviewed in person on Thursday in Memphis.
Okay.
So I would assume that there would have been some discussion to get that in-person interview scheduled before that Wednesday press conference.
You got to go down to basic psychology for this because a couple things that he said preemptively without anybody asking, right? The first thing was bringing up the recruit, talking about him interviewing for another job in New Orleans. That was number one. Another one was I did ask him what his first season at Southern Miss meant to him because I in case something happened, I wanted something to use on the weekend, right? And he talked a lot about next season and just the growth, and he'd never been in a place that where the support matched the expectation. But even when the press conference was over, no more questions, he had said, hey, I'll see you guys next week. We'll talk on Monday or Tuesday for the bowl game. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys can hang out with us. Now, he's probably obviously trying to keep, you know, face, but still a couple things that preemptively no one asked for.
And really, before last Wednesday, had you guys ever heard him use the two words next year?
No, I hadn't. And again, that was something that I've mentioned on this show.
Yeah.
That if you listen to his press conferences, he never talks about next season. Bob, I wanted to ask you and maybe even Kelly, Southern Miss fans are so used to this. You know, every time there's a little bit of success, something like this happens. So do you think that Southern Miss fans right now are kind of just throwing up their hands going, I mean, you think about everything that he brought back into the program, the fans, the success, the money, and now he up and leaves. I mean, I just think it's, for Southern Miss fans, it's got to be just kind of like, I don't know if I can go through it again.
Well, it's certainly frustrating, and I think Southern Miss fans, and Kelly can tell me if he agrees or disagrees, sort of came to the realization a few years ago that for lack of a better term, the job here may be a stepping stone. And there was always that big debate. Do you want to bring a guy back that's got long-time Southern Miss ties, or do you want to bring a guy back that you know is going to hopefully do well in a couple of years and then up and go? And I think has vastly been debated along age lines, Kelly. You can tell me if you disagree that maybe some of the older guys think in terms of a Jeff Bauer type of a coaching situation where other people don't. And they think that it's absolutely good for to bring in a young guy or a guy like Charles Huff. He, you know, he does well and year one, year two, he up and leaves. But can it not be frustrating? I mean, Kelly, how is it not frustrating? Because you think about Todd Monken, and man, everybody was feeling so good about that. He up and leaves for the NFL, and I think everybody was certainly feeling good when it was 7-2 here this year, and lo and behold, now this coach is gone. So, Kelly, I think it's frustrating, but I don't think it's terribly unexpected anymore.
Especially at some of the schools like Southern Miss's in the Sun Belt Conference in the Group of Five. But look, it's happening all over. I mean, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, my alma mater, said the only job he would leave for is the Notre Dame job. And then Penn State gave him 10 million reasons, you know, why to leave. So it's all about the money. That's all it's ever going to be about. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know why everybody's kind of scratching their head about this, because it's always seems to be where the answer is.
Yeah, and if I may,
Before we run out of time, and I have to jump off because I'm up here at some corporate meetings in Jackson, but Tadema or Scott, either one, bottom line, is this just money? Is this only about money? Are we unhappy here? And how much of a role did the 30 seniors we see on the field at the last home game play a role, and maybe this coach thinking, good Lord, I've got to start completely over if I stay here?
I think the biggest part of it, maybe not about how much Charles Huff's making, but maybe how much can the school pay the players I want to recruit?
Yeah.
Because Memphis seems to have a lot more resources to pay the players than Southern Miss does. Not that USM in the Sun Belt doesn't have the resources, but when you compare the two, Memphis has a lot more to give.
But what do you call that, Scott? That's money.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for Charles Huff.
Well, but I'm just talking money all around.
He was definitely happy here. I do think it was a tough decision for him. He really liked the administration here. But again, I think it comes down to NIL. I mean, the NIL budget here at Southern Miss is, of course, really good for a Sun Belt program. But when you looked at some of the reports that he was going to get $8 to $10 million to spend on his roster at Memphis, I mean, that's incredibly hard to pass up.
And he didn't.
And he did not.
So, Blake Anderson.
And he didn't.
That's right.
That's right, he didn't.
Hey, boss, we'll see you back here on Wednesday.
All right, my friends. Thank you, guys. Good work.
Bob Getty with us in Jackson. We're going to get Memphis's point of view about how it transpired from their end of the conversation. A writer who covers the Memphis Tigers will join us when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, next to Smith Motor Company. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters. We hope that you'll check out their new location. They're on Highway 98 West. Kelly Sanner, Dima Mixon, producer engineer Michael Mergens, and Scott Kirk from The Dub. WDAM, us old veterans, we can call it that. We go now on the phone to Memphis, where the commercial. I don't know why I do Elvis.
It sounded like a coach that just got hired at Tulane.
I always try to sound like Elvis when we're talking about Memphis. But Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal here to give us the Memphis side of the story. Well, our loss is your gain, Jonah. Tell us, give us a timeline of the Charles Huff hiring in Memphis from your point of view.
Yeah, they ended up having a search that lasted about a week. Ryan Soderfield left a couple of days after Memphis' last regular season game against Navy, which was on Thanksgiving Day. Not totally expected around here, especially with the way the season went down the stretch, similar to Southern Miss, Memphis losing its last three games, and a lot of fans kind of souring on the way that things had gone. And that had been a trend. Obviously, Memphis has not gone to a conference title game since 2019 when Mike Norvell left for Florida State. So never did it under Silverfield, and people were definitely getting restless about that. And then he leaves for Arkansas. Memphis kind of starts its surge. I think Charles Huff was kind of just always an obvious candidate, at least to be in the mix. He was on my hot board that was ready to go whenever Silverfield left, just because of obviously the connection geographically, but also the success that he's had in the Sun Belt at those two different places, at Marshall and Southern Miss, and then just what Memphis is looking for. They obviously need somebody who can kind of elevate the program. It's one of the most well-resourced programs in the conference and in the Group of Five, and they expect somebody to come in quickly and turn this thing around quickly. And obviously Charles Huff was able to do that at Southern Miss. So I think there's a lot of reasons why he was at the center of this search and ultimately the guy they settled on.
I don't want to get off track, but really quickly, were you surprised, Jonah, that Silverfield was that attractive a candidate to Arkansas?
People around here were not expecting him to leave at the point that he did. Obviously, it wasn't surprising that he was in the mix. He had been in the mix. His name had come up for jobs throughout the season, especially earlier in the season when Memphis was doing better and getting more national attention. But I think with the timing and with the way that the season went for Memphis down the stretch, definitely some surprise around here with how it all unfolded and that Arkansas ultimately pulled the trigger on him, especially given, you know, they were obviously interested in other coaches. There was Alex Golish rumors up into that week, even those last couple of days. It was a lot to kind of kickstart the end of that era.
Jonah, I'm curious, when we hear coaching searches now, sometimes people focus in on those records, right? 7-5 here at Southern Miss. But I think Memphis administrators saw that he took a 1-11 program, completely flipped it in one season, got them competing for the West Division, using the NIL to his advantage. Does that make sense? And now that you have the resources at Memphis, seemed like that would be the most natural hire for Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like I was saying before, I think, like, realistically with this job, whoever the coach was, and now it's going to be Charles Huff, is going to be expected this season, next season,
right,
to potentially win the conference. Like, there's no, you have a couple years to work this thing out or rebuild. It's like this program feels like it's been in position to do that for the past couple of years, and it hasn't. And that's not going to change because there's a new coach. If anything, I think the pressure is going to go up. So somebody who had proven they can turn a program around that quickly, like just look at what he did in the transfer portal last year, I think that, like you said, made him a really attractive candidate from the jump.
Jonah, you mentioned maybe some frustration a little bit with Silverfield toward the end of that tenure with Memphis. What are you seeing and just kind of hearing around the town right now with the hiring Coach Huff? I remember in Hattiesburg, people were ecstatic, right? He comes from Marshall, he went to conference championship, now he's going to you guys. How are fans feeling about this hire?
It seems like pretty good. I think there was a lot of, throughout the coaching search, this is how Memphis fans have been, it's how a lot of fans are. Anytime somebody's name was floated, the initial response was like, how could they hire that person? Which I'm pretty sure if they had hired Nick Saban, people would have reacted that way. So I think that's just kind of where it is now. I think people ultimately, when you look at the realistic options and the candidates, and even how some of these other coaching searches have gone, I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, people are very interested in Tulane hiring Will Hall, given the success that they've had, obviously, over the past couple of years. When you look at the way that some of these other coaches, searching searches in the conference have gone, I think Memphis fans are pretty excited, or at least happy and understand the situation, or happy with how it ultimately played out.
I think we were saving our Will Hall thoughts for the third segment, Kelly.
Yeah, full disclosure, Jonah, we're still pinching ourselves going, is this AI or is this really happening down in New Orleans? Apparently it is.
And ESPN is reporting that Huff is going to bring Southern Miss defensive coordinator Jason Seymour to Memphis. So do you expect a lot of him to bring a lot of his staff, kind of like he did with Marshall, Jonah?
Yeah, I would expect that. There's some people, you know, I think he'll probably evaluate the staff and some people will ultimately stay. But even if you look at Memphis' staff right now, a lot of people, particularly on offense, have already left to go to Arkansas with Ryan Silverfield. And so even if he came in, he wanted to retain everyone, some people are going to be gone, a good portion of them, including a lot of people in the scouting department and general manager and stuff like that. So I think it makes sense, especially when you look at the success that he had at Southern Miss bringing people from Marshall, it makes sense that a lot of those people, even players, would be interested in continuing that.
Yeah, speaking of players, how deep is this Memphis roster for next season? Was it a senior-heavy roster this year? What would Huff have to work with if he could keep some guys?
Yeah, there was a lot of seniors, definitely. I think the question right now for Memphis is how many guys are going to go to Arkansas, right? It's the same kind of thing that you're thinking about at Southern Miss in terms of players. With Memphis, a lot of guys are going to be targets for Ryan Silverfield and the rest of his staff, especially he's bringing offensive coordinator Tim Kramsey to Arkansas. So there's a lot of familiarity there. The big one to watch is Memphis's quarterback, A.J. Hill. He didn't play a lot this year, only played in one game as a true freshman, but he's the highest-ranked quarterback recruited Memphis history and was a four-star, was someone who Georgia and Florida and a lot of places were after. It was a huge deal that Memphis signed him in the first place, and obviously the plan when he got here was to be the quarterback of the future. Played a little bit this year. Memphis had a senior quarterback in Brendan Lewis. Be interesting to see how those conversations go, because obviously he's someone who would have a lot of interest if he went in the portal, but I think if Charles Huff was able to retain him, that would be a huge thing for the fans to kind of support him right off the jump.
Jonah Dillon is with us from the Memphis Commercial Appeal talking about the hiring of Charles Huff. How much money is he getting? Jonah, tell us about the contract.
I don't have the details yet, but look, Ryan Soderfield was making about $2.3 million a year when he was here. Charles Huff obviously was, I think, just under $1 million at Southern Miss, so I would expect him to be somewhere in that range. I don't think Memphis needed to see if you're doubling someone's salary or something like that. I don't know how much higher it's going to be. Interested to see what the buyout is. Obviously, I know that was something around Southern Miss, too. But hopefully those details will come out in the next couple of days.
Because Southern Miss, under the contract, is owed some money for this transaction, yes?
Yeah, it actually depends on it. Depends on exactly when this is signed, because the money drops substantially, I believe, tomorrow. So I think it's $1 million if he leaves today and $750,000 if he leaves tomorrow. I don't know why those dates were the dates they were in the contract. But ultimately, yeah, Southern Miss will get some of it. And then I would expect some of these assistant coaches, too, if they're on multi-year contracts, they have buyouts. They'll be less, but there'll be more money coming in if he does bring assistants who had more years on their contracts.
John, let me ask you this about the Memphis job. I think it was maybe last year, a couple months ago, Memphis tried to get a Big 12 invitation. So obviously we know this school and program wants to go to a power conference. I wonder, getting a guy like Charles Huff, what do you think the feeling is with the program, just kind of the university right now, to, you know, retain a guy in that football program to kind of grow with him instead of staying in that American conference? Do you think that kind of played into it as well, or?
Yeah, I would guess that it definitely did. I mean, I think that's something that we'll hear from Charles Huff probably at his introductory press conference, because that's something that Memphis's AD, Ed Scott, has said basically every time he talks. He said it at his own introductory press conference. He said, my number one goal is to get Memphis into a power conference, and he's been pretty consistent in that. Obviously, they haven't succeeded yet, but they believe that more success with the football program is something that they need to demonstrate to get there, because around Memphis, the belief is the reason that Memphis never got into a power conference going back to the last decade or even longer is because for most of its history, Memphis had a terrible football program. It's only in the last decade or so that things turned around when Justin Fuente got here. And so they believe they need to continue to elevate the program. Obviously, people talk about Memphis being one of the most well-resourced programs in the Group of Five and being one of the candidates every year to go to the playoff, but they haven't done that yet. So if they were doing it, obviously that gets you a lot more national attention. That gets people interested in your brand and adding you. And I'm sure that's one of the things that Charles Huff was excited about in terms of deciding to come here.
All right, final question before we let you go, Jonah Dillon. When Huff walks next year, who gets the job? I'm kidding, buddy.
I will say I've been noticing the Marshall fans and Southern Miss fans.
Oh, get ready! Oh my goodness!
Over the next couple of days, I'm wondering if the Marshall fans are going to be in my mention soon. So I'm excited for that.
I'm so happy they're gone.
Don't lose any sleep over it, buddy. That's for sure. Because we'll all be going through this again at different schools. You know, next year, some schools aren't even going to bowl games this year, and we're going to talk about that along with the return of Will Hall at Tulane. The Green Wave have apparently struck a deal that Will Hall will be there. Are you okay,
yeah,
Dima?
I'm good.
Catch your breath. Catch your breath over there. We'll talk about that. Who's in, who's out of bowl games, why they're not going, and again, this epic saga of college football, Southern Miss style, continues on the Eagle Hour in just a moment.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Thanks to DBAT Training Services for their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. DBAT, thanks for their support. And Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team this time of year is fun and getting to be more difficult.
But don't, like speaking.
Yes, but don't forget about the most important player. That's you. Get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. That's two R's, ForestHealth.org. And a shout out to Mobe Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. Okay, Southern Miss headed to New Orleans, as we thought was going to happen. Wasn't sure of the opponent. Turns out it's going to be Western Kentucky, an old Conference USA foe of the Eagles. That's a December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. Obviously, a 4:30 in the afternoon kickoff. So for those of you that want to go to the game and then still hit Bourbon Street or whatever you want to do in New Orleans, you'll have plenty of time to do that afterwards.
One more little note of breaking news. ESPN reporting that Dominic Bowen is headed to Memphis with Huff as well. So all this is coming out almost while we're on the air. So we're looking at, I know this is totally off topic, but a lot of this defensive staff, I would assume, is going to follow Jason Seymour to Marshall. So
to Memphis.
And we see that now with Dominic Bowman and Jason Seymour.
And I'm sure the dominoes will continue to fall. But now you've got a situation, because Notre Dame got all ticked off yesterday that they didn't get into the national playoff. So they said, well then we're just not going to go to a bowl game. We'll show you. You know, we're going to take our marbles and go home.
Terrible. Terrible.
Well, they're not the only ones that are doing it, though, y'all. Iowa State, my alma mater, they're not going. They just lost their coach. He went to Penn State. Central Florida has declined a bowl bid. Kansas State, they're not going either. Florida State, they're out. Baylor, they're not going. Temple says they have better things to do. And Rutgers is not going to a bowl game. They have opted out. So bowl games everywhere, but no two teams to play. You've got all these bowl games now that say they're going to have a game, but who's going to be playing at them? Dima Mixon? Well, the Sun Belt's going to help a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah, Georgia Southern and App State are meeting in the Birmingham Bowl, which is honestly the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Consider they've, number one, they've already played this year. Number two, it's a rivalry. Number three, I don't know. Scott, you might can talk about that. I want to get to the actual news.
Yeah, that's more important. Is it possible that there aren't going to be enough teams?
No, it's all filled. It's all filled.
Okay.
To be fair, I wouldn't want to go to Birmingham either. Just kidding. But I hear the argument is these teams, look, we're 5-7. Our season ended 2 weeks ago. We've already started the demolition of the roster. Players have already transferred. That's their argument from things. But I think that if you're a stable organization, the chance to be in a bowl game is special no matter what. For your players, but also for development purposes,
yeah,
right?
And, if you want the season just ended last week,
exactly. If you want to get a look at that freshman quarterback, why not? I think some of it has to be a little bit of laziness. I don't want to prepare. I just want to get to the portal. I want to start paying guys. That's what I think it is.
And that's why Notre Dame has no excuse for not being in the bowl game, because their season didn't end last week. Their season ended at 11:30 a.m. because the ESPN takes 30 minutes to announce the playoff teams in the show. But it ended at 11:30 a.m. and then they're just like, no, we're not going.
And I was going to pick that up in the fourth segment, but while you guys are hot on this topic now, you're both upset with the way Notre Dame handled this situation.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And it is probably the end of bowl season as we know it, personally.
It might be. But to be honest, the College Football Playoff Committee has a little bit of themselves to blame.
Because they do.
Notre Dame was ranked way ahead of Miami for weeks and weeks, because the whole reason why this happened, right, Notre Dame-Miami head-to-head. Hurricanes beat them back in week one.
Right.
BYU was kind of that filler in front of the Hurricanes. They ended up losing. If they would have gotten their act together and had Notre Dame and Miami closer together before the final rankings, you wouldn't have put yourself in that position. But on this last Tuesday, when you put Notre Dame at 10, Miami at 12, BYU in between, you're setting it up to take it off their plate.
And I want to make sure clear to everybody that we're not sweeping the Eagles bowl game under the carpet, because we do have a little bit of time before that. There's just so many other things to get to today, including what is going on at Tulane, where it was reported that Will Hall, and everybody was going, is there another Will Hall? No, the former coach at Southern Miss has apparently reached a deal, or Tulane has reached a deal with him, rather, to become the next head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. What's going on here? I mean, if you base it on what happened at Southern Miss, it's got a lot of people scratching their heads.
It's stunning. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to him, because from where he was when he got fired here to now landing the head coaching job at Tulane, it's honestly remarkable. So you got to give him congratulations. And for me personally, I hope he does great.
Me too.
You know, he's such a great guy. And honestly, it was sad to see what happened here play out because you were rooting for him the whole time to do well.
Because you can learn.
But you would think that there would be some type of, like, when he got fired last year, did anyone think he was going to get a head coaching job 13 months later? Not to mention of a team who's in the playoffs.
I didn't think so. I had heard some rumblings at Jacksonville State. Yeah, maybe something was happening there.
Right.
But he knows that Summerall staff. I think the thinking behind it is maybe it saves some cash, right? Short leash, I think. Also, to retain players, right? I think he knows the offensive pieces. It might be a way to retain players and stop them from going elsewhere, even Florida.
When we saw the names come out for the Tulane job and Will Hall was on it, I remember us saying on the show that that's got to be, you know, there's no way. And now that it's actually happened, I think it's the most stunning hire that I've probably ever seen. Like, just shocking. But, you know, it's just like, and it's nothing against Will, but like, I read every single national media report on it. Not a single one of them even put in his record at Southern Miss,
and that's
which was 14-30.
That's going to be a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, motivation wise, sure. It could be the thing that maybe gets him over the hump, right? When you're backed into a corner, how is he going to respond? Is he going to overcome this adversity, right?
But the back end of that is there's no doubt in the back of his head, he's also thinking, I know what happened last time. And if something starts going downhill again, you'd think that it would, you know.
But we all love a redemption story.
Sure.
Do we not?
And if it works, that would be the biggest redemption story I think ever.
And I think if Will was very candid, and if we talked to him after he left Southern Miss, I think one of the things that he would say that he didn't do right, he did just about everything right except the most important thing, right, to win games. But another thing he would be best advised not to do again is to hire a bunch of his buddies.
Yes.
Because he might have been able to be a head coach at this Division I level, but his assistant coaches were not. I mean, that became apparent. So you can learn from past mistakes. And I know that Tulane, if they had any sense about him, would ask him about that. What have you learned from your tenure at Southern Miss, and how will you be different at Tulane? And if they didn't ask him that, then they're just derelict in their responsibilities.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was the first choice, because all week we've heard other names, you know, that they had interviewed with. So I wonder if this was just the next best option. That, to me, would make the most sense, because it sounded like they were going to go after Baker at LSU. And then it sounded like Coach Mack over at Kennesaw State, who's now Southern Miss, is also looking at. It sounded like he was in conversation with Tulane, and now it's reported that Mack's about to sign an extension at Kennesaw State. So I don't think Will Hall was like number one on their list, but I don't think he was that far down, if that makes sense. So, you know, again, those players love him. He's been at Tulane for a long time, you know, and he's won everywhere he's been other than Southern Miss.
Look, guys, being a people person gets you a long way. It really does, and that's probably a big reason why he has a second chance, because he is good at creating relationships. I don't think there's any doubting that.
Sure.
So next year, Southern Miss at Tulane. Southern Miss at Tulane. I mean, that's going to be a storyline for sure.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, every time Will Hall has been wearing green and blue, it hasn't been good for the Eagles. Didn't go so well when Will was wearing black and gold, but every time he's been in a Tulane, on a Tulane sideline, Tulane's had its way.
And he's been back here a bunch. Like, you know, this season he's been to a lot of the schools here in the Pine Belt recruiting. It's not like he's been a stranger to Hattiesburg or he hasn't come back since. So, I mean, he's going to be well part of it. He still knows the area. Mm-hmm. You know, recruit-wise, he was able to get a lot of local kids. So, transfer portal-wise, a little questionable. But, you know, high school-wise, he did a good job.
Still got a lot to get to, including men's basketball. They're back at home tonight against Grambling at the Greenhouse. The women won yesterday, kind of a revenge win against UAB. So we're going to talk about that in our final segment. But you guys, going forward now with Blake Anderson, are you worried that with Southern Miss players maybe getting in the transfer portal, that Southern Miss is going to be numbers handicapped going into a bowl game?
I'm not worried about that for the bowl game, because there's so many seniors on the starting lineup, and I think, you know, we've already seen some of the seniors come out on social media saying we're ready to play in the bowl game, so that's at least encouraging. I am worried after that, though. I mean, that Christmas is going to be busy for us, because I think players are going to announce, you know, and you're looking at players that are big pieces Chris Jones, Jamon Tapp, you know, players who can come back to see what happens if they follow their coaches to Memphis.
And Scott Kirk, question before we go into the break. Regardless of whether Southern Miss wins or loses to Western Kentucky, is Blake Anderson the odds-on prohibitive favorite at this point to be the next head coach at Southern Miss?
I would think so. And when you look at the trend of the Sun Belt Conference, what other teams have done when their coaches have left for other positions, it makes sense. Real quick, look at South Alabama, Kane Womack to Alabama. They hired
Major Applewhite
to be their next head coach. Similar position to Anderson. So
we'll take a final break, switch gears to talk basketball. And we could go another hour today on this show, but we're going to have to all get it in this last segment. We're glad you're with us, and we'll return after these commercial messages.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Don't forget the Eagle Hour podcast. You can find it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Eagle Hour. Our fourth segment brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, the newly paved parking lot. You don't have to, you know, some of the potholes that used to be around that area, you'd find Jimmy Hoffa down in. Do you guys know who Jimmy Hoffa
yes,
is?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I do.
All right, good.
Mafia man.
Yeah, I'm.
Yep.
Boy, you guys.
I'm an old soul, Kelly.
Can't slide anything past you guys. But 4th Street Bar and Grill will have all of the bowl games, even those nail biters like Georgia Southern and Appalachian State.
What about Delaware and Louisiana? That one should be a fun one.
The Blue Hens and the Cajun. And that's
Delaware's
a rematch.
A fun watch, okay? Don't sleep on the Blue Hens, though.
That's right.
JMU and Oregon should be fun, too.
Joe Flacco went to Delaware.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Yeah, he was a Blue Hen. Anyway, they'll have all the games there. And, of course, the daily Blue Plate lunch special for you. And your soft drink is always included in the cost of your meal. All right, we've talked about Blake Anderson. Bob Getty mentioned at the top of the show that Hugh Freeze has potentially reached out for an interview at the university. Who else, guys, is on that list, if there is a list?
You know, I think if I'm a Southern Miss fan and I'm looking at guys who excite me, I'd go down to the FCS and see a lot of their coaches. I think the name that stuck out to me was Mike Jacobs, current head coach at Mercer. Mm-hmm. He's a former offensive lineman as a player. Kelly, I know I've heard you say that those make the best coaches.
They do.
He's never had a coaching job at the FBS level, but he's won 6 conference championships in his 3 stops as a head coach at the FCS level. So far in all 3 of his seasons with Mercer, he's won at least 9 games. His overall record as a head coach, 94-23. That's Mike Jacobs, current head coach at Mercer. Some other names really quickly. Derek Nix, I think, could be in the mix, too.
You're stealing all of mine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say both the names he just said. I think T.C. Taylor at Jackson State is an interesting look, you know, just from what he's been able to do there and kind of the wake of what's his name, Coach Prime leaving and, you know, continuing to build that program to where, I mean, I think they're like back-to-back-to-back SWAC championship appearances. So I think he would be an interesting candidate to pick from. He mentioned Derek Nix, the Mercer head coach. I think the Kennesaw State guy is still someone that Southern Miss should at least offer. But I still think Blake Anderson's the front runner.
Well, we did have a president at the university come here from Mercer.
Yeah. We should have a press conference sometime this week with Blake Anderson. We did get that information. So looking sometime this week with him.
That president was Horace Fleming, by the way, if people are going, who was our president? Horace Fleming was a president at the university after Aubrey Lucas in that list of people, and he came from Mercer. Now, quick, Scott, the guy from Lehigh that mm-hmm. a lot of the younger fans are saying, you know, look at this guy, that he's the next Bob Chesney, who, of course, went to James Madison, is now at UCLA. They really like this guy from Lehigh. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, his name's Kevin Cahill, 47-year-old. Thing is, he's from the Northeast, so it's not like he would have much ties to this area. So I feel like maybe that would take some convincing, possibly. He really got his money started at Yale, offensive guy. Overall, as a head coach, 23-14 record in the FCS tournaments. He's 1-2.
Okay. I'll tell you what, whoever the next head coach is, they have got to be ready, because in this transfer portal, with the way that Huff was setting it up, 9 signees in the early signing day period, which means they were going to go heavy in the portal. Whoever the next head coach is will have his work cut out for him legitimately a week probably after he gets hired.
But hey, Jack State did it last year, and they went to a conference championship. Sure. It could happen anywhere.
It's doable. It is, but I'm just saying, you know, your work's cut out for you for more than likely an unproven head coach.
In the last couple minutes here on the show, let's talk basketball. The women avenge an earlier season loss to UAB. They got beat by the Lady Blazers down at the tournament in Cancun earlier, and then turn around and beat UAB yesterday. So it looks like they're, after losing 3 in a row to some pretty tough competition, it's good to get back home and get that win.
Yeah, it's always, we talk about it so much. Home, it's so hard to win on the road and much easier to win at home, and it was good to see them get back on the right track and, you know, hit some threes. They hit a lot, you know, did much better shooting than they did in that tournament, but obviously they were playing some ridiculous competition in North Carolina State and stuff. And listen, the men battled down there in Miami for most of that game. You know, Miami pulled away there at the end, and so it will be nice to see them tonight finally back at Reed Green Coliseum for the first time in what feels like a month. And so it'll be nice to actually watch basketball.
But what's kind of worrisome to me about the guys, and I'm sure they'll get a handle on it, but they seem to be a completely different team first half to second half. They played South Carolina, better first half than second half. Coral Gables or Miami, did they lead at halftime? Maybe by
a
point.
It was tied.
Oh, tied, okay.
37-37.
Okay, but then in the second half, that wasn't even the same team. And I mean, Miami just crushed them in the second half. Yeah. So that's a little bit worrisome to me, but Tyleek Weeks was named the Sunbelt Basketball Player of the Week for his effort. So it looks like more and more guys are contributing here, and they got beat by Grambling earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So this is a chance for an avenge loss. And Dima, after tonight, they've only got, what, 2 more games before conference play starts?
Ole Miss on Saturday, and then
LSU?
LSU, you're right. Okay.
Right.
I was like, it might just be one because I know conference play starts on the 18th. So
yeah, so let's and that tip off tonight is a 7 o'clock, and it's not a men women doubleheader.
No,
obviously the women played
men
yesterday. So Grambling and the Southern Miss men tonight at 7 o'clock at the Greenhouse. Whew.
What a show.
Guys, we got it all in.
I don't think we did, but we got some of it in.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we've got, you're always welcome, Scott. And we've got a lot more to come this week. We're going to be talking with Danny Owens, the new women's soccer coach at Southern Miss. Of course, there'll be all sorts of football news with the bowl game, news from Blake Anderson. And we're also efforting Randolph Keyes, former basketball great. So we've got a lot of great shows planned for you, but that's for then. Until 1 o'clock tomorrow, from all of us to all of you, Southern Miss, to the top. Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.